Every homilist priest approaches a certain passage with trepidations. Homilist, for instance, always worries if he suddenly is at that chair, and then suddenly the wrong and prepared, his homily is prepared, and the wrong reading is proclaimed. Ooh, sweats break out. But I can tell you this second thing is when suddenly the reader proclaims or emphasizes the wrong thing, especially if there's an attention or focus. Now, let me tell you, our deacon and our readers do an excellent job and have done always an excellent job, and there's a wonderful aspect here in the cathedral. But I can tell you that I, as one of the very earliest lectors, right when the transitions were going from the Latin of the Mass into the English of the Mass, they decided what they would do is would have all the English, the readings and the gospel proclaimed by the lector in English. And I got the task of reading one of those very first gospels. So of course the priest pulled me in and worked with me and said, now here's the emphasis. And what was the gospel? The gospel was the wheat and the weeds. And let me tell you, I practiced. I had the whole thing down in my head. I mean, I was ready. I had this passage practically memorized so I could go up there and proclaim this gospel. And of course, it came to the wonderful emphasis about the enemy. And of course, waxing eloquent for the first two or three verses, don't even need the script anymore. And then I looked and I said, and the enemy sowed wheat among his weeds. You know, when those words come out and they kind of echo, they kind of come back in your mind, you go, oh my gosh, what did I say? Well, you know, I basically continued on, and now what is Father going to say? That's the question. The Father gets up to do the homily. He starts over, he looks at me, and had a very large home parish. It said about 2,000, so just to let you know, so about almost 2.5 the size of this cathedral. And he got to the pulpit. It was one of those extended pulpits that went out. And he looked and he says, my fellow parishioners, we can only hope that the enemy would sow wheat among the weeds. Oh, my heart crashed. So whenever I hear this one, I'm kind of brought back to that moment when I pulled that in. But you know, his statement to start, we can only hope that the enemy would sow wheat among the weeds. Jesus here uses three parables. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to work harder than those who were listening to these parables at first to understand what Jesus is saying. And why do I say we have to work harder? We have to work harder because experientially we're not really agrarian people. These are agrarian examples. They knew right away. Now God bless most of our homemakers. You know, they do such a fine job, but basically you're not baking bread every day. Usually going over to the Pick and Save to get your favorite loaf. Or if you want a little something fancier, you know, go to Panera's, right? We have to work harder. We can understand it intellectually, but experientially, we don't necessarily have that sense. We understand weeds, but we don't understand what the significance of the wheat in the weeds and pulling those up and understanding that the weed that Jesus was talking about would have been known immediately to those who are listening because it would have resembled the wheat. It would have looked exactly like the wheat. And at its roots, it would have intertwined with the wheat. And let me offer to you that the three parables that we heard today were talking about the world, talking about his church and faith, and we're talking to the disciples about their own personal acceptance of Christ in their lives. And first of all, the wheat and the weeds. I don't know about you, but certainly in my sense, I take a look at the world and I'm constantly pulling my hair out, saying immediately and looking and kind of saying, what is the world coming to? Where are they getting this kind of sense? Are we going to hell on a handbasket? Is that what's happening to us? It's almost like you want the whole thing to stop. Where are they getting this sense of downplaying virtue and upholding vice? And we all know that. Just take a look at the heroes that are held up within our society. But then you pull back and you begin to say, wait, we're involved with the world and our responsibility is to be faithful to that Christ despite the fact that we are confronted with those we're not either totally committed to Christ or even reject Christ. It's our responsibility to be wheat among the weeds, to plant ourselves within this society and worry not about our judgment of others, but God's judgment of us, and understand that it is God who can take even the most dastardly of individuals and turn them and convert them to be individuals committed to the Lord. Take a look at the history that we have now, to take a look at the history of Christianity. Take a look at those individuals who suddenly converted. You take a look at an Augustine who turned his back on God. Suddenly becomes the great champion and advocate. Take a look at those who were touched by God, living in this world, living more for the world than they were for God, and then suddenly transforming their lives and becoming examples of faith for everyone. It is God only in the end of our lives that can take a look and separate that wheat from the weeds. It is only God who can ultimately make that judgment. In the second example, oftentimes when I'm talking to young people giving a little mission or in a group, and we use this especially to highlight the church, I had a little plastic vial, and in it was a mustard seed. And I would pass it around so that the kids could see it. And the mustard seed was almost like a lint, almost like a that type of speck. So we give you kind of an example, like almost like lint. So they would take a look at the mustard seed as they would pass it around. And then realize that that little seed would grow into a bush, a shrub, a tree that was almost 12 feet high. And birds of the air would come and feed off of the seeds that were there. What is Jesus offering to us? It's Jesus offering to us the power of our faith and the understanding of ourselves as church, as kingdom. That just like that mustard seed, you start. And he was probably directing this, realize those who were his disciples, this little band of individuals. Can you imagine telling those individuals, going back and kind of saying, hey, you know, at one time, about 2,000 years from now, you will represent a faith that captures the imagination and attention of 1.2 billion people on the world. A world they could not even envision or see. But yet what happens is it comes from that very aspect of the faith, that mustard seed, that small, small seed that pulls them from them what the Lord wants from them. So they're immediately, in terms of ourselves, there's a trust in the assembly, a trust in the church, a trust in the faith that is rooted in the church that we profess. And of course, the third is the leaven that Jesus speaks about. And what happens with leaven? Leaven goes into, and they would have been aware immediately of leaven, because oftentimes what they were called to do is unleavened bread, not leaven. Because I knew what would happen with leaven. With leaven, it changes. It creates the bread which is porous, which tastes good, which helps it. It helps preserve kind of the sense. So when we're talking in terms of that leaven, we're talking in terms of opening ourselves and our lives to Christ. And when we allow Christ to come into our lives, we become more than what we think we can. And take a look in terms of the history of Christianity. The history of Christianity turned to those who were outcasts within the society. Christianity turned to those who were in need of healing. Take a look at the history of Christianity in terms of opening itself up to those. Christianity turned and emphasized the importance of children within a stable home and family, and how important that family is to our society and to our well-being, and how important it is to the children that are raised in that community. Christianity became a leaven. It opened us up. It opened us up to the responsibilities that we had. And how do we understand all of this? Go to Romans. Take a look with St. Paul. And here is another example of someone who is converted, who changed his entire life to become dedicated to Christ. And we go to Paul, and how does Paul see and envision and understand the parables? Through a relationship called prayer. Prayer. In prayer, we acknowledge that we oftentimes cannot foresee. We can't. We know only what's before us. But we open ourselves up to a larger vision that God has. We cannot know the ultimate end. We acknowledge in prayer that it's only God who knows what ultimately is good and what is best. And when we take a look and apply those to these various parables, we understand that we are open to God's will. And it only is in God's will, even during the most difficult times in our lives, that we understand His presence. And we understand that His ultimate judgment is what in the end solely counts. So we look to the end of the statement of today's gospel. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So whoever has ears ought to hear. In your prayer, open yourselves up to understand God's sense in your life through His Son's love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.